Charitamrita. We're reading from the Madhya Lila, chapter number 10, entitled The Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. And today we're reading from text number 66 and 67. Just before I begin, I sometimes think we take it for granted that everyone is familiar where we're at. Would it be useful for me to give just a little bit of context to the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Can you put your hands up if you're not so familiar with the Chaitanya Charitamrita and what it's all about? And we should give a little background, and then it has more relevance to us. Okay, so Chaitanya Charitamrita, what can I say? Srila Prabhupada said, it's the real Bengali sweet. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is very, very beautiful. Here you see a picture. When I was a kid, I used to come to the temple in the temple room, and I used to think, why is Jesus Christ in the temple? This is, of course, we have great reverence for Jesus Christ. But this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the incarnation of Krishna in this age. He is known as the Karuna Avatar. When Krishna comes down, he's an avatar. Ava means to come, and tar means down. When there was going to be a gang fight in Wembley, they used to say, my boys are coming down. So, you know, the backup is coming. So Krishna also comes down. Krishna comes down as an avatar, and in every avatar, Krishna has a specific mood, a specific mission. A specific personality. Actually, I was just in Delhi, and I was connecting with some people who are into AI. So the devotee actually made an avatar of me in AI. I say, I already go around the world, I get like, people also are a little bit bemused when they hear my name, Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Swami. I mean, it's a heavy name, you know. So you go around the world calling yourself Swayam Bhagavan Keshava, and already it's a little like, people are like, what's the meaning of this name, you know? Like, so I was like, no, it's okay, I'm just a servant. So I said, you're making it even worse, now you're making an avatar of me on top of the name. So it was actually very displacing, because like he actually made an avatar of me, recorded my voice, and then had me speak different languages in my voice. So like I was hearing myself give a class in Hindi. I was like, wow. It's like, okay, I'll stick to the English. So these things are happening. He was convinced. He said, now no one will ever die. He said, you'll never die. I was like, I'm ready to go. No one will ever die now. They can always interact with you. It's like, wow. So anyway, Krishna comes as an avatar. It's not virtual reality, for real. Krishna comes. And when Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the 1500s, then he created such a wave in the world that there were so many biographies written about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does anyone know how many biographies were written about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? 27. Over, some say more, but we know 27 are recognized. Have you ever heard of anyone in the world who had 27 biographies? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And of those 27 biographies, it said that 7 are the foremost, the most important, the most, the ones we have the greatest access to. And each of these 7 biographies, they give a different image of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity. So there's one scholar, he writes a book, The Biographical Images of Sri Chaitanya. And he explains how in every biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a different aspect or different emphasis of his divinity is coming out. Just like if you speak to 7 people about you, then they'll each have their own take. All good, I'm sure. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each of his biographers had a focus. Of those 7 biographies, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is what we're reading now, became known as the foremost. It was foremost for, we could say, three broad reasons. Chaitanya Charitamritam was the most authoritative. Not just that, it was the most comprehensive. But not just that, it was the most conclusive. So if anyone ever asks you, why are we reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and not another biography, the first thing is that it was the most authoritative, because the sources that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami used to piece the life story of Mahaprabhu together, his sources were the most accurate and detailed. But not just that, it's the most comprehensive, because it doesn't just tell you about Mahaprabhu's activities, but it also tells you about Mahaprabhu's life, his times, his teachings, and what a legacy he wanted to leave for the world. So he kind of mixes both things in, you know, the sweetness of the pastime with the depth and the gravity of the message. Like nowadays, when we give a class, we have to tell a story every 2.5 minutes. That's basically, otherwise people are like, good night, God bless. So it's very, as a speaker, people's attention span has been annihilated. People just can't concentrate. It's very, very difficult, you know. I tell the story that one person, after a class, he once said, oh, wonderful class, absolutely brilliant. I said, what did you like? He said, you finished on time. So it's very difficult, but Kaviraj Goswami, he keeps us engaged, he keeps us connected, and he gives us comprehensive analysis of Mahaprabhu's life. But not just that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is conclusive. It's conclusive because what it does is it takes Mahaprabhu's divinity and it reveals the most exalted aspect of his divinity. It reveals to you the mind of God. Sometimes you come across people who you feel like, oh my God, that person's a mind reader. They know. It's a bit like unnerving when someone, you feel like someone knows what's on your mind. So Kaviraj Goswami, because of his incredible spiritual acumen and qualification and because of his great association, he was actually able to reveal Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind. So this is it. This is why we're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan Jahahoite Premananda Bhaktita Tvagyan. He says, dear brothers, dear sisters, every single day read Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan. Every day read. Why? Jahahoite Premananda, you'll become happy. You'll experience the happiness of love. But at the same time, bhakti, tattva, gyan. If you want to know all the secrets to bhakti. You know, nowadays when I'm at airports, I always check in and see, you know, what people are reading in the bookshop. Every other book is about life hacks. Life hacks of how to do this, the secrets of how to do this. So this is the ultimate life hack. Chaitanya Charitamrita, because bhakti, tattva, gyan, all the secrets you want to know about devotion. Basically, we're all there. Somehow or other, we arrived here. Now all the secrets to tweak it, to fine-tune it, is available in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, this is the CC, and where are we in the CC? Mahaprabhu becomes a sannyasi. God renounces everything. He says, I'm going to embrace the whole world as my family. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins traveling. And he travels for 2 years. He goes all across South India. You can retrace that journey. You can go to all the places he went to. And eventually, after traveling, he comes back to Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is an incredibly special place. Because there's lots of Mahaprasadam there. Lots of wonderful, blessed food. But also because it's a very, very confidential place where Krishna in his form as Jagannath is in an overwhelmed state of ecstasy. It's said that there are some deities which are so ecstatic that they forget they're a deity. And therefore, Jagannath is said to be one of those deities who's so ecstatic that sometimes God forgets, like, I'm a deity, I've got to be controlled here, I don't move, I don't talk in this form as a deity, I just got to, like, restrain myself, I'm a deity. But sometimes the deity becomes so ecstatic that the deity can't restrain itself. And therefore there's so many stories of interaction with Jagannath. Therefore sometimes there's a debate in Vaishnava circles. Who is more merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Jagannath? What do you think? Mahaprabhu. Really? Mahaprabhu is the most merciful avatar, but Jagannath is the most merciful deity form. So they're actually both are most merciful. But the commentators say when Krishna comes as an avatar, Mahaprabhu, definitely. But when Krishna comes as a deity, Archa Vigraha, then Jagannath. So here Mahaprabhu comes back to Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu is teaching us so many things. So let us see what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to teach us today. It's a strong lesson. Are you ready? I hope so. Okay, so we'll read from text number 66. 67 is on the board, as I understand, so I'll just read 66 myself, and then we'll do 67 responsively. Translation. Hearing the Lord reject him, Kala Krishna Das began to cry. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not caring for him, immediately left to take his noon lunch. So this is very, very painful for the devotees to hear. Someone is being rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Karuna avatar, the most merciful, the kindest, Mahavadanyaya, rejecting. Yes, he's rejecting. Today we have to understand, how can Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be so strong? So let us read 67, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, after this, the other devotees, headed by Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Mukunda and Damodara, began to consider a certain plan. Purport. Even though a person is rejected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees of the Lord do not reject him. Therefore, the Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. Srila Narottam Das Thakur thus sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Peyachekeba. One cannot be delivered from the material clutches without engaging in the service of pure devotees. The Lord himself may sometimes be very hard, but the devotees are always kind. Thus, Kala Krishna Das received the mercy of the four devotees mentioned above. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Dham Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Brijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Jute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Mancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Srila Prabhupada ki. Before I begin, I request permission of my seniors to share something. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. What we're reading here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita really requires some thought. Before I go into this, I'd like to share something with you. Recently, someone came to me and said, I have some feedback for you. I said, good or bad? I said, it's an improvement. I said, that means bad. Of course, when someone wants to give us feedback, we run 1,000 miles. But I controlled my urge and tried to keep an open heart. So this was their feedback. I'm saying it publicly because I think there's value in it and it helps me to act on it. So basically, some years ago we started, not years ago, like 18 months ago, we started putting things on the internet, as you know, social media world. So basically I have 2 YouTube channels. I'm not doing a social media plug here. It's irrelevant to the story. We have 2 social media channels. So one of them is for new people, newcomers who know like not much about Krishna consciousness, and the other one is for devotees, deeper, hopefully. So we have these 2 channels. So the person said to me, I've been listening to your 2 channels. I have some feedback for you. They said, you speak differently when you speak to newcomers and when you speak to devotees. They said, I've been listening to your lectures. When you speak to newcomers, you're very kind. Very positive. Very empowering. Very hope-giving. Very uplifting. I was like, you're running out of adjectives here. I mean, there's so many. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanandi ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Naman ki jai. They said, but when you speak to devotees, then you're very heavy, very cutting. Some of the things you say are like, it's very high. They say, sometimes I hear a class that you give and I just think, I'll never make it. Sometimes I feel guilty after I come out of one of your classes. Sometimes I feel like, this inspired. I was like, oh no. Of course, the duty of a speaker is to create a gap. The duty of a speaker is to help us understand there's more beyond where I am now. There's a higher thing to achieve. So we have to create a gap. Mind the gap. But we also, our service is also to give you the inspiration and encouragement that you can walk it, that you can make it, that you can do it. And if we create a gap but we don't give that encouragement and inspiration that you can make it, then we don't do our full job. So they said, why don't you be more positive? Why don't you focus on this movement, which is a movement of mercy? Why don't you focus on the fact that Mahaprabhu came, chant, dance, take prasadam, and go back to Godhead? You should focus more on that side. Lord Chaitanya's moon is rising. There's a song like this, no? And it's not at all surprising. We're dancing in the street. We're telling everyone we meet that we're going home. So I love that song, actually. There's something about that song which, when I hear it, it creates something emotionally within me. I don't know what it is. It's like, it's a very special song. So yes, Mahaprabhu's movement is a movement of mercy. They said, why are you getting too much into psychoanalyzing the anarthas and the blocks and the desires? Focus more on the mercy aspect. Focus more on the positives. Otherwise, they said, we think we'll never make it. So I accepted that feedback. Yes, we must be positive. It's a movement of mercy. And we must always go out of a class feeling, yes, I'm inspired to continue on. I want to stay on the caravan. I'll tell you an interesting story, actually. Once there were devotees in Bangladesh. Bangladesh is a bit of a politically unstable. That's the word I'm looking for. Unstable place. So sometimes they have curfews. And curfews means at that time no one's allowed to drive. So one time the devotees were having a Sunday feast. Anyway, then they wanted to go to another temple because there was some speaker there they wanted to hear, but it was a curfew. So they had a bright idea because they had a Sankirtan van, and the Sankirtan van was previously an ambulance. So conveniently they kept the siren on, you know, in case, just in case. So they thought, anyway, we'll just go into the ambulance and we'll go to the other, no problem, you know, no one will stop us. Ambulance, emergency. So there's two grihastas and a brahmachari. So they said, the brahmachari, you don't go in the front because, you know, saffron, which brahmachari rides an ambulance, you know. So they said, you know, you be in the back, we'll go in the front, we'll drive, we'll put the siren on, we'll be there in the flash. No problem. So there they went. They went, they left the temple, the devotees had sent them off, they went on. Anyway, as their siren was in full swing, they soon heard another siren behind them, syncing it up, you know, two sirens. So, sure enough, it was a Bangladeshi policeman. I don't know if you ever met a Bangladeshi policeman. See? We wind the window down. What are you doing? I said, no, ambulance, ambulance. The devotee said, emergency, emergency. I said, why emergency? So then the policeman said, he said, hey, open, I want to see, what's in the back? So devotees were thinking, anyway, let's just go with Krishna's plan, because this brahmachari is in the back. Maybe he's reading Bhagavad Gita, I don't know what he's doing, you know. Now what had happened is, when they had left that temple, naturally Sunday feast means 17 and a half course feast. So he had really like gone for it, you know, 23 and a quarter sweet cups, cups of sweet rice, and like he had really, you know, gone for it. So he had come into the back of the ambulance totally full. And what had happened is, before he had left the temple, the devotees wanted to honor him, so they gave him the Maha Garland. So anyway, so this policeman goes to the back, goes, hey, kula, open it up, I want to see. He said, Nana, emergency, emergency. He said, what emergency? Open it. So then they opened it, and as soon as they opened it, the policeman looked, and this brahmachari was on the ground like this. He had a garland on his side. So you can imagine, I mean, in India, if someone's lying down on their back, motionless, and there's a garland on top. You know. So the policeman was lying. So he looked at the devotee, he goes, well, yeah. So the devotee went, Bhagavan Prapti is gone. So the policeman goes, wow. He goes, okay, close. Ciao, go. Anyway, they got to the Sunday feast and then they told the... They woke up the brahmacharya at the back. And the brahmacharya said, you know what the the moral of the story is, no? Like, even if you're a little spaced out, even if you overeat a bit, even if sometimes you fall asleep, just stay in the ambulance. You'll reach the destination. Right? Just stay. So we are a movement of great mercy. We're a movement of great kindness. Even when we look at our heart and we say, oh, too much to unravel, too many anarthas, we should never become discouraged. So we should focus that on that side of kindness. So thank you for your feedback. I will try to be more positive. However, now I will launch my defense case with all the humility at my command. Mahaprabhu is very, very kind. Mahaprabhu is very, very magnanimous. But if you read the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you may also see that Mahaprabhu is very strong. Mahaprabhu is also very strict. Mahaprabhu can also get serious when it comes to serious things. And Mahaprabhu has also this side to his personality. My defense case is that when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Mahaprabhu is dealing with newcomers, he's very kind, he's very positive, he's very encouraging. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi stan stan je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. When it comes to newcomers, patra patra vichar nahi nahi stan, he doesn't consider good qualified, non qualified, good place, bad place. Je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. He just gives, he's just encouraging, he just uplifts. However, when one becomes a devotee, when one takes up the process, when one wants to really walk this path and achieve the ultimate goal, then Mahaprabhu becomes strict. Therefore, yes, Mahaprabhu is very kind, and this movement is about mercy, but Mahaprabhu is also very, very strict. And Mahaprabhu is also expecting every devotee to do a lot of internal soul searching and cleansing of their heart. Here, Kala Krishnadas has done something which was bad, but in this day and age, you can't expect that this won't happen to someone. He got a lord. It happens, things happen. We get tempted, we get deviated, we get diverted and distracted sometimes. It happens. Mahaprabhu is so strong with him, he's saying, banished, out. Mahaprabhu is looking at him. The Bhagavatam tells us, kim vidyaya, kim tapasha, kim tyagena, shrutena va, kim vivikteena monena, stribiryasya manoritam. This is how hard the Bhagavatam is. This is how heavy the Bhagavatam is. The Bhagavatam says, kim vidyaya, you have a lot of knowledge, so what? Kim tapasha, you've done loads of austerity, so what? Kim tyagena, you've given up everything and you've put on bright saffron, so what? Kim shrutena, you've heard from so many eminent personalities, so what? Kim viviktena, you've distance yourself from all material influence, so what? Kim monena, you've taken a vow of disengagement to not interact with the world, so what? What is the value, the Bhagavatam says, of all of these things if the net result of it is stribir yasya manoritam, your mind is stolen away by the opposite gender? That's a heavy statement. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was someone who was really doing a lot of soul searching. If you read his books, he was doing a lot of soul searching. And sometimes he would say things which were like shocking. And you know what he said in one offering to Srila Prabhupada? Everyone was listening to it and it actually became a little uncomfortable. Because he was making his offering to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I will tell you, I traveled the world for decades preaching Krishna consciousness, and then you will look at me and ask, but did you give up sex desire? And then, Prabhupada, I will tell you that I traveled the world and I opened many, many temples and tried to inspire many, many devotees. And Prabhupada will look at me and say, but did you give up sex desire? And I will say, Prabhupada, but I woke up every single day and I attended Mangalarti. Someday I chanted 32 rounds. And Prabhupada will say, but did you give up sex desire? And so it was going on like this. It was like, oh my God, this is heavy. Mahaprabhu is heavy with Kala Krishnadas. Because Mahaprabhu is teaching the world that while lust remains in your heart, that space will be hijacked and not allow love to completely manifest. And therefore it needs to be dealt with, it needs to be addressed, it needs to be rectified. Mahaprabhu is strong. That's not an isolated incident. Chota Haridas just glanced at Madhavi Devi. She was an old lady. She was one of the 3.5 intimate associates of Mahaprabhu, the sister of Sikhi Mahiti. Mahaprabhu banished Chota Haridas. He said, inappropriate connection with the lady, out. Pratraparudra was an impeccable Vaishnav. But just because he had some connection in the governments and such things, Mahaprabhu was not willing to see him. What about Sanatan Goswami? Sanatan Goswami gave up everything. He gave up his wealth. He gave up his position. He traveled to see Mahaprabhu. He even went through so many bodily diseases on his journey there, and he tolerated it, knowing that he'd eventually see Mahaprabhu. And what happened? On the way, someone gifted him a chadar. I mean, this is someone who's given up his whole treasury, his whole kingdom, everything. And then he got this chadar. And when Mahaprabhu was coming in front of him, Mahaprabhu was just staring at the chadar. So immediately, if someone stares at you, it's a little... I do that nowadays actually, like when I go to airports, like people stare at me. I mean, it's kind of like, you can understand why. So they're kind of looking at you like... So what I do now? What I do now is I just stare right back at them. And it's like a mind game, like, because like, I just stare right back at them. And then eventually they're like, you know, like, is there something wrong with me? It's like, it's the power of the mind, you know? So you can stare someone out. That's what boxers do, right? Stare them out. Anyway, so Mahaprabhu was just staring at him. So he realized, oh, this chadar. He doesn't like that I have this chadar. Now, Sanatan Goswami didn't think, like, why does he think I'm attached to this chadar? Like, I gave up everything. Like, of course I'm not attached to this chadar. Someone just gave it to me. Sanatan Goswami said, no, it's a problem. Mahaprabhu said, when a physician deals with a disease, then they deal with it in such a way, shesha rog, that they don't leave any remainder of the illness there, such that it could resurface. And therefore, Sanatan Goswami gave away the blanket. Mahaprabhu, he came back, Mahaprabhu was so happy. He said, yeah, now you've done it. In other words, we come all the way in Krishna consciousness, And then if we hold on to something, it's like, oh no. I mean, you gave up everything. Like, I met a devotee recently and he was just like, I can't give up onions. And I'm like, you've given up everything. And you want to hold on to onions? Like, I mean, it's, you know, we've already come this far. We've come so far. So then one take is like, you can say, I've already done so much, it's the movement of mercy, just lay off a little bit, just be good, you know, like just go on, we're all going home. Or we could say, you've already come this far, you've done everything, now these last vestiges, let's talk about them, painful as it is, let's deal with it, and let's get rid of it. Because then you can experience the totality. Like, why would you hold on to that? Shesha Rog, don't leave any vestige of it there. So I didn't say this to the person who was giving me feedback. Because if I defend myself in front of them, then I won't be able to take the good from what they're telling me. So it was good. We have to be positive. And my apologies if I'm a bit heavy. See me outside, I'll buy you a chili paneer or something. No? Say sorry. I don't mean to be heavy here sometimes. I only speak about these anartas because I have them myself in my heart. But the point is, now we have to aim for pure devotional service. And we may say pure devotional service, very, very high. Yes, it is very, very high. But you elevated yourself so far already. That's beautiful. So we can do it now. So here, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the Lord Himself may sometimes be very, very hard. So yes, sometimes we are hard. But then Prabhupada says the devotees are very, very kind. And that we need in our spiritual life. We need people who are giving us critical feedback, but also at the same time we need people who are giving us a lot of love and appreciation. Sometimes it's explained that just like when a potter is molding a jar, then one hand has to go inside to support, but on the outside it's got to be a little bit of tapping. If the hand is not there, and if the hand is there but this, then no change. So let us not shy away from facing what is within the heart, the lust, the anger, the greed. We're envious, we're proud. Maybe every day we see it. And sometimes we can just think, anyway, I'm in the movement. We're going home. Yes. But maybe here we can learn that Mahaprabhu is making his devotees very, very aware. You have this, deal with it. And it's tough, it's difficult. But I think what we've done in our world today is we've made difficult into an extreme. I'll tell you, explain what I mean. If I ask you, what's the opposite of easy, what would you say? Difficult? The opposite of easy is difficult. Agree? I disagree. Easy means effortless. And the opposite of effortless is helpless, which means impossible. So, the opposite of easy is not difficult. The opposite of easy is impossible. And difficult is just the midway point. But what we've done in our world is we've made difficult an extreme. And therefore we think difficult is bad. Difficult is something we have to run away from. Difficult is something that we should be nervous about. No, no. Difficulty is the golden mean. That's the place where there is growth. And so it's so difficult to look inside your heart and deal with these things. But this is where there's really growth. And so it's not sentimental, Krishna consciousness. We actually have to become pure. Jayananda Prabhu was an incredible devotee, recognized by everyone in the movement as someone who had attained a level of non-enviousness and purity of character and service attitude that perhaps they had not seen before. But it's amazing, when Jayananda Prabhu left the world, Prabhupada wrote a letter, and he didn't just say, oh, Jayananda Prabhu has gone back to the spiritual world. The amazing thing is, Prabhupada writes a letter and he says, your life of devotion is wonderful. If you were thinking of something material at the time of death, then maybe you'll go to the heavenly planets and come back again. And everyone is thinking, like, heavenly planets, material, this is Jayananda. But even Srila Prabhupada is not sentimental. Oh yes, he's a devotee, he's in the movement, he's gone back to Godhead. No, no, no. Serious business. Later on, Prabhupada found out how he departed and his consciousness. Prabhupada said, yes, definitely, he has gone back to Krishna Loka. But the point is, Prabhupada didn't make it as a given. This is Jayananda, he spent his whole life, he's going back to Godhead. No. It all depends. Ante Narayana Smriti, what will we remember at the time of death? So we have to do this internal work. And the devotees are very kind. They are always encouraging us on the journey. Always bringing. Here the devotees are giving Kala Krishna Das a chance. Yes, you made a mistake. Yes, you did something wrong. It's okay. Let's find another way to keep him connected. So this is what the devotees do. Jayananda Prabhu was like that. Some devotee had left the movement and he had become, of all things, a butcher. So Jayananda Prabhu decided to go and see him. So he went into this butcher's shop. And the person at the front, he said, oh, you're looking for him? He's at the back. I mean, you want to go at the back of a butcher's shop. Jayananda Prabhu went to the back of the butcher's shop. All these, unspeakable blood everywhere. And then in the distance he saw this devotee who had a knife in his hand, an apron full of blood, and was basically slicing up an animal. And Jayananda Prabhu looked at him and he said, great to see you! And he hugged him. I mean, you just got to think about that for a second. Jayananda Prabhu just hugged him. He just embraced him. And he said, we're missing you. Why don't you come back? How are you doing? Great to see you. No judgment. Just encouraging. And that devotee, he said, just by Jayananda Prabhu's kindness, I had to come back. He conquered me. So that's, devotees are so kind. They're always looking at how they can keep others connected. But sometimes the devotees are also strict, and sometimes Mahaprabhu is also strict and kind. These both aspects must be there. So I'm just bringing out this point today. I'm going to actually open it up, and because I sense there may be some questions on this, so rather than speaking more. I'll open it up and see whether you have any questions. But before we do that, in the spirit of Nityananda, Mukunda, Jagadananda, Damodar, who had made a plan to keep Kala Krishnadas connected, I was thinking to honor their example. There's probably 100 of us here in the room and maybe some more online. Maybe today what we can do in honor of the great mercy that these four bestowed on Kala Krishna Das to keep him connected. Maybe each one of us, what we can do is think of someone who strayed away from the Krishna consciousness movement. someone who used to come but maybe is not so connected anymore, someone who was on the path walking but maybe something happened and they have discontinued their spiritual progress, and maybe in honor of this verse today, everyone, that would be amazing if 200-300 of us could message one person each and encourage them to stay connected, to get connected, to be with the devotees again. And in that way, the Chaitanya Charitamrita becomes more than just something we're reading, but something which we're also offering the spirit of to our community. So, does that sound like a good idea? Can you do that? So think of someone today who is maybe not connected, and just send a message to them. Hey, how are you doing? Remember Jayananda. No judgment. No, just kind. Just inviting. And ask them to come back. That would be nice. And one final thing. Seeing as I got the Vyasa sign and the mic before I open it up for questions, is another way to get everyone connected and help us to develop these relationships. Clearly, the devotees had an incredible relationship with Kala Krishnadas. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone to those lengths to keep him connected. So our friendships in Krishna consciousness are our greatest wealth. And so we do retreats so that we can all stay together and be more connected, develop deeper relationships. So here comes the advertisement. We have an amazing retreat coming up in May called Rise. We're expecting it to be one of the biggest retreats in the UK, maybe for decades. We're expecting hundreds of devotees to come. We have His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj has agreed to come. Her Grace Mother Vishakha will also come. His Grace Gauranga Prabhu from Chaupati will also come. Radhika Das Prabhu and his Kirtan team will also come. Devotees from ISKCON London are also going to help with certain things. And we've got devotees coming from all around the country. And we're going to spend 4 days together. We're going to chant, we're going to dance, we're going to discuss and get empowered, build relationships. So please, please, please do come. It's at the end of May. It's just north of Birmingham. So if you go on the MANA website, then you can sign up. That would be very, very wonderful. So yes, here we are speaking, Kala Krishnadas, the strictness of Mahaprabhu, along with the magnanimity, both have to go hand in hand. And therefore, when we see Mahaprabhu, we shouldn't just see that, yes, he was very kind and magnanimous. Yes, that's the underlying theme. That's the foundation. Yet, Mahaprabhu is also expecting every devotee to do a lot of internal work to remove the last vestiges of material desire and therefore make their life perfect. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Okay, so let me open it up and see whether you may have any questions or comments, or if there's more you would like me to share on any of these points. Still a mic. Otherwise, you can say, I'll repeat.
Oh, Maharaj, you're talking about Lord Chaitanya not agreeing to meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra easily. But in the current scenario, we see several SCON leaders having good relations with different political leaders, government authorities, or at least trying to have. So, of course, there are benefits to this, but how do we reconcile the difference?
Thank you so much. So Mahaprabhu also, in other situations, he met devotees who were in the government. For example, Ramananda Rai was a governor. So Mahaprabhu met him. He said, "You're one madman, I'm another madman. When we get together, it all becomes very mad." So Mahaprabhu met him. He was a governor. He was in the government. Mahaprabhu met Rupa and Sanatan. They were in the government at that time. They hadn't given up their positions. He met them. So Mahaprabhu, he, in every situation, he's teaching a principle that then we have to learn to apply appropriately. So Mahaprabhu, he was teaching through Patraparudra, Niskinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukhasya Param Param Jigamisor Bhavasagarasya Ha Hanta Hanta Vishabhaksanato Prasadhu. When you associate with someone who is materialistic, then their desires enter into you. It's amazing. The Bhagavatam says, more dangerous than associating with the opposite gender is to associate with someone who's attached to the opposite gender. That's like, if you think about that, that's actually an amazing psychological point. And so Mahaprabhu was teaching that anyone who is materialistically connected, materialistically entangled, you have to be very, very careful, because by your association with them, that will also have an effect on you. Yet Mahaprabhu was also willing sometimes to engage with such individuals. And in those situations, he was saying, never judge someone on their externals. So in every interaction, there's a different principle being taught. So, yes, we have to learn the essence of how to apply those instructions. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, my spiritual master, he gave me three instructions. He told me, number one, never go to Calcutta. He told me, number two, never make any disciples. And he's told me, number three, don't make many temples. He said, I followed my spiritual master perfect. Really? He said, yes, because when I went to Calcutta, I never went to Calcutta. I always stayed in Bagh Bazaar, which is the embassy of the spiritual world. I never made many, many temples. I made places where people could engage in Krishna bhajan, and therefore those places were completely aprakrit, non-material. And I never made many, many disciples. I saw that whoever came to me and asked for instruction, they were actually messengers who were coming to teach me many things. So in other words, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood the essence of what Gaur Kishoradas Babaji was telling him. When he said, don't go to Calcutta, he was basically saying, be very careful of asat sangha. When he said, don't make many temples, he was basically teaching him, don't just make institutional places where it becomes about power, prestige, position, popularity. And when he was saying, don't make many disciples, he was saying, never think that you've become someone big, that many, many are coming to you, and now you've somehow become some messiah. No, always be humble. So Bhaktisiddhanta followed. So we should understand the sar, anusar, how to follow the essence. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it talks about how the devotees are more merciful than the Lord, and the stories you shared as well. Would you be able to share more about why the devotees are more merciful than the Lord, and because I want to understand the mind of those devotees.
Very beautiful question. Okay, so we hear that the devotees are more merciful than Krishna. So why is it? Why is it that the devotees are so kind? First, we have to understand that Krishna gives that shakti to the devotees. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that only bhakti can generate bhakti. And therefore, it's the bhakti which is in the heart of a bhakta which impels them to then awaken that bhakti which is in the heart of someone else. And therefore, because Krishna allows the bhakta to be the abode of bhakti, and allows bhakti to reside within the bhakta, then it's that bhakti which makes the devotee so merciful. So that potency, that power, that potentiality to be so kind, that comes from Krishna himself. Because he allows the devotee to be the abode. That's why Krishna, when he wants to become very, very compassionate, then he has to come as a devotee. E mata bhakta bhav kori angikar. He has to take the bhakta bhav, otherwise he can't be Karuna avatar. Because the bhakta has that prerogative, that bhakti is within their heart. And you see, as a devotee becomes more and more devotional, they become more and more kind. So, devotees are powerful. Sometimes they say you can measure the power of a devotee by how many people they bring to Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Said like that. But just imagine, Srimati Radharani was so powerful in her devotion that she made God a devotee. She made God into a devotee because Mahaprabhu Krishna looked at her and said, I don't understand, so I better become a devotee. So that's the ultimate. You can never, no matter how big a preacher you ever become, you look at Srimati Radharani and say, you're the biggest preacher. So the devotees are so kind, yes. Jiva Goswami says that the mercy of a devotee is like a needle, and Krishna's mercy is like the thread. And where the devotee penetrates, then the thread follows. So Krishna gives the devotee that prerogative, because Krishna has to be equal, see. Krishna is taking a very neutral position sometimes. Samoham sarvabhuteshu na medvesho stina priyaha. I'm equal to all. But the devotee, Krishna allows the devotees to express beyond that kind of jurisdiction. And therefore the devotees can go to a further extent. So yeah, the Vaishnavas are very powerful. Some thoughts.
I was in two minds today whether to come to the temple or not. I haven't been here for a long time. But then the little chap, my Paramatma, said, go to the temple, maybe the Lord wants to tell you something. I have a question. First of all, thank you for a beautiful class. I want to declare to everyone that I've always loved you for carrying this burden of mercy wherever you are. Where you are, whether you are on the Vyasasan or talking to people or even in meetings. My question is this. You said at the end of the class that each one of us, we are invited to think of someone that we have lost, who has been, for some reason, has been cast away from Krishna consciousness. Often I feel myself like that, to a stray way. My question is, when we are on Vyasasan, this principle of mercy, it's like it comes out very natural. Mm. Even when I give a class, all the good comes out. But I've been in leadership for many years, for 42 years, and I've seen there are different chairs. They're not necessarily like Vyasasan. And those chairs, instead of mercy coming out, it's like a callousness comes out.
Yeah.
And as a result, we have lost many devotees. I've lost a lot of friends. How can we turn those chairs into mercy? Why? How can we act on those chairs as if we are on a Vyasasan, merciful, rather than judging devotees you know, and making them feel strip off everything what they have done for many years. And, you know, they're forced to go with nothing, like you said. How can we prevent that rather than... Because a lot of them, you know, each one of us, we may contact, you know, someone we have lost.
Mm.
But then they'll say, oh, I've surrendered my heart in the past, but I'm afraid to surrender again because my heart has been misused. So how can we turn those chairs, especially leaders? I'm not talking about grassroots devotees. They're all innocent. And for me, they are, you know, they're special. For the leaders to turn those chairs into mercy and not callousness. That's my question.
Yes. If you can avoid sitting in the seat. It's a great, great boon. But we must sit in the seat because we must push Srila Prabhupada's movement forward. Well, you were sent by Krishna, Vishvamba Prabhu, because all of that is me. I also feel very much like that. As you said on the Vyasasana, to be very merciful. But then when you're managerially dealing with individuals, it's intense. Sometimes we feel we need to fight back. We become a little hard. We forget, no, devotee first, manager second. The managerial identity comes to the front and we sometimes forget the devotional identity. It requires so much maturity to be a leader. I'll share a story with you. There was one leader in the Orient and the prince was supposed to become the ruler. So he told the prince, before you become the ruler, I want you to go to the forest for 1 year and tell me everything you hear. So after 1 year, he came back to the king. The king said, what did you hear? He said, I heard the birds chirping, I heard the leaves rattling, I heard the grasshoppers jumping. The king looked at him and he said, go back for another year and hear again. He said, but I listened for 1 year, I'm telling you. So he went back and he was in the forest listening. He could hear the raindrops, he could hear the leaves rustling, he could hear the grasshoppers hopping, and he was thinking, what more is there to hear? And then at one point, he began hearing. And he heard more and more. He came back. The king said, what did you hear? He said, I heard the leaves rustling. I heard the raindrops dropping. I heard the grasshoppers hopping. The king said, did you hear anything else? He said, yes. Then I heard the love of the mother for her children. I heard the sound of the soil absorbing the morning sun. I heard the sound of the flowers opening up, blossoming. He said, now you're fit to be the ruler. Because you've learned the art of how to hear the unheard. This is leadership, actually. And it's very difficult. And we're all striving for that. To learn to hear the unheard. To not just respond to someone's actions, but to understand what are the emotions, the feelings, the struggles that are behind this, that is impelling someone to act in that way. When you hear the unheard, as a manager, as a leader, then you become more equipped and more empowered to actually serve the people. But often what happens is we're just very reactive to people's actions and their words. So it really means leadership, management requires a lot of heart, because it really requires one to see the heart of another person and not just their activities. My good friend, I think I can say that, Janakinath Prabhu, this is where we would have a lot of arguments. Because I was always like the clinical manager. trying to be. Who made the decisions which were clean, who made the decisions which were logical, who made the decisions which just made sense according to the law of the land. And every single time he would come to me and say, but did you make the decision which encouraged this person? It's amazing how you can make the right decision and be wrong if it discourages people. So it's tough, because in management it also requires sometimes to be strong and also sometimes to be merciful. Sometimes love can be displayed in both ways. But I guess every leader and manager has to ask themselves the question, when I'm making this decision, am I hearing the unheard? Or am I just reacting to someone's seeming irrationality? So it's hard. It's a great art, and it requires a lot of maturity. Some thoughts. Thank you. Just maybe from the ladies' side, maybe one or two, and then I think we can stop. Yes. Would you like the mic?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lesson. Beautiful. Is Jagannath the most merciful divine manifestation? Because he sees everything, hears, feels everything, and despite all our imperfection, loves us, no? Okay. Often when someone shows him a limit, we lose the positivity you were talking about at the beginning. But a devotee should see this behavior as a request for help. Okay.
That's okay.
Vairagya, Jagannath look at us with this vision, no? How should we develop Vairagya, and how many types of Vairagya exist?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So how should we develop Vairagya or detachment?
Yeah.
This is your question? Okay. So detachment takes place on four levels. The lowest type of detachment is detachment out of frustration. You give up something because you're frustrated with it, because it didn't, you know, it didn't work out for you. Higher than that is detachment out of desire. You give up something, not because you want to give it up, because it's good to give it up, but because you give it up to get something else. It's a motivated type of detachment. Then it said higher than that is a detachment out of knowledge. When you give something up because you know it's good for you to give that thing up. And you realize that being free of that thing will be good. But the highest type of detachment comes when you're attached to something much better. Therefore, the Sanskrit word vairagya, which means detachment, has a double meaning, vishesha raga. Vairagya, which means detachment, also means vishesha, special raga type of attachment. So when you're especially attached to something better, then naturally you will give up the lower thing. And that is the highest type of detachment. So that is why we go to see Jagannath. That is why we surround ourselves with so much spiritual wealth to ignite that higher taste, that love, which means that we can then turn away from the things of this world effortlessly. And that's the highest type of detachment. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.